The following podcast may contain adult language and an abundance of salt. So get ready, nerds, because we're talking Mythic Quest Season 2, Part 2 of our review. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast. Today, we're going to be finishing up our Season 2 review of Mythic Quest, the second half of the season, episodes 6 through 9. We love this show. If you guys have seen our previous episodes on it, it's one of our favorite things that's out there right now on Apple TV. And we highly recommend you guys check it out.
Five buttholes out of five.
Yes. Oh, my
Apple
gosh.
Apple TV has been coming up with some winners.
Yeah, they really have. They really have. I'm curious what they're going to do with Foundation to see if that's on the same level.
Don't you fuck it up.
But anyway, before we get into it, I would just like to let you guys know we've completely revamped our membership club. And if you guys want to jump in, if you like what we do, if you want to see more of it, go to saltynerdclub.com. You're going to get access to 4 exclusive episodes per month where we are the most unfiltered, raw. We say what we want to say. We don't have to worry about being taken down off of Apple or YouTube or Spotify or anything like that. And also, you'll get exclusive access to our members-only Discord server where we do live chats and we do Q&As and we do video games, all kinds of fun stuff. We have a fantastic community over there. And not only that, but we have about 2 years of backlog content for you guys to dig through, which is all exclusive, members-only, not open to the public, because again, we would get taken down for it. So jump in, saltynerdclub.com, join the community. We would love to have you.
Yeah. And we're also talking about doing exclusive kind of episode breakdowns for, the Expanse and,
yes,
and Foundation, just for patrons. So yep, if you guys like our episode breakdowns, that's where you can find them.
Yep.
And speaking of Foundation, this episode has a lot of Isaac Asimov in it.
It really does. Yeah.
Let's get into it. I'm super excited. Okay, hey, before we do, complete spoiler alert. We're going to spoil the crap out of the second half of the show. Of course, if you haven't watched it, go watch it and come back. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages, and we're going to get right into it.
Ah, the sounds of summer. Can it get any better? Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Discover the intuitive technology of the Lexus hybrid lineup. Explore the possibilities of a Lexus at the Golden Opportunity sales event, now through September 6th. Click the banner to discover more. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
In the heat of the moment, you keep it calm and cool with a $3 medium ice cold brew. And not just any cold brew, but one that's slow steeped and mixed with brown sugar and molasses flavor. With a cold foam infused with brown sugar coolness and a cinnamon sugar sprinkle on top. That's keeping it calm, cool, and cold brewed. With Dunkin's new brown sugar cream cold brew, now $3 along with all medium cold brews. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Welcome back, everybody. All right, let's get into episode 6, which is called...
Backstory.
Backstory. Oh, this is my favorite episode. All right. Mm-hmm.
This is a good one.
Yeah, the backstory... to CW Longbottom.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So CW Longbottom's whole thing is all about backstory. He's like in every episode he's in, he's like backstory.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Backstory. It is. It's true.
And that's what this episode is called. And this is without a doubt my favorite episode of the whole series. This episode.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
You felt like this was written just for you, huh?
Yeah. Like, everyone knows I strive to be CW Longbottom in my future. Mm-hmm. And so, but also just being a novelist and having lived and worked in like that industry where, you know, I'm exposed to other writers and stuff like that. Like you could tell that the guy who wrote this episode knew what he was doing. It was actually written by Saul Green, who stars in the show as like the editor. Like he's that guy right there.
Oh, no way.
We're watching.
Oh, he was written by him?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And also he played the guy who was in charge of the two testers. I forget his name.
Right.
But
Hal?
Yeah, so something like that. So he was the one who wrote this episode, and he just nailed it. Like he did it pitch perfect.
Yep.
So we get to see a young CW Longbottom played by Josh Brynner, who was Big Head in Silicon Valley. It's the same actor. And we get to see his first meeting with two other writers, Peter Cromwell and A.E. Goldsmith, who's a female writer. And it's basically a fresh-faced young CW Longbottom discovers what it takes to become one of the world's greatest science fiction writers. And this episode is basically CW Longbottom's origin story.
Yeah.
And I loved everything.
This is, we learn how he got the Nebula Award.
And he's Carl in this. He's not CW yet.
Yeah. He changed his name after he got the award. Mm-hmm. This, I think I might be with Kadish. This is my favorite freaking episode. It was so well done. Mm-hmm. Were you bored with it? I feel like
No. I really, this is like top tier.
Oh, okay.
Cool. This is top tier television. Not just this show. This had nothing to do with the rest of Mythic Quest. It would still be good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was an excellent episode, and I really enjoyed going back into CW's past and seeing what
the tripod
motivates him. But yeah. I think it's my second favorite episode of the season. My first favorite is the sequel to this episode. Is the follow up?
It's okay. Really funny.
I think that's my favorite one
too.
Okay. Yeah, so we get to see C.W. Longbottom and his two friends. I can't remember their names, but it was
Peter Cromwell and A.E. Goldsmith.
A.E. Goldsmith. And so
her name, A.E.'s name was actually Anne.
I think so. It's tough to remember, but you kind of get this idea of like this friendship, this blossoming friendship between the three of them, where they all come in as copyright editors, if I'm not mistaken, right?
They're kind of like production assistants. They're just kind of peons, but they come in and their job is to basically proofread all the stuff before it goes to print.
That scene when they were getting fired or hired and they were like, so I know you guys really want to be science fiction writers, but the only reason why I picked you was because you put commas where commas belonged and you like your punctuation was on point and you spell everything correctly. That's why you're here. Mm-hmm. You're getting paid $1 a day.
Go get me a sandwich.
Now go get me a tuna sandwich. It was good. It just kind of felt like very nostalgic, very 70s, kind of like these young, bright-faced wannabe writers who
dreamers.
Are like, yeah, they're like, oh, I can't wait to be just like these other great writers that we see.
Yeah, like early on, we get to see basically Isaac Asimov, Ursula K. Le Guin, and who was the third guy? But it was basically like these famous science fiction writers that kind of mirrored what the minor characters like CW
wanted to be.
And if you're unfamiliar with who Isaac Asimov is, he is the original creator of Foundation, which
iRobot.
Yeah.
And many things. Yes.
Yeah. Which Apple TV is putting out that show.
Cool.
And he's widely regarded to be the greatest science fiction author to ever live.
He inspired Dune, which inspired like
Star Wars,
everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he was the first to incorporate a galactic empire into a narrative and come up with like a believable way in which it could be in there. A lot of stuff came from him.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Brilliant mind.
And he was so prolific. Like he was just writing short stories and novellas and novels. And like it was crazy, like his output. And that's why, in what happens in this episode really kind of struck me as like, okay, the person who wrote this knew like Isaac Asimov.
Yeah.
That's really cool. The thing I liked about this episode was like how CW Longbottom, like among the three of the tripod that they named it, he was the weakest writer out of all three of them, but he had the biggest ego. And that kind of tracks with what we know about CW from the previous season and from the previous half of the second season, where he's got this like inflated view of himself. And that tracks back to this episode where he thinks he's this. There was that one line where they're like, so usually in science fiction, you want to have things that are like inevitable outcomes of what we already have, but also different and original. Like you have robot horses as opposed to cars or something like that. Why would you go back to robot horses? And he's like, because it's a robot horse. Like it's just like, that's freaking cool.
Yeah, the whole time he's just like, you don't get me.
Yeah. But his ideas of like, you also have these pouches in the back of people's thing. Like, what evolutionary benefit is that to people? And he's like, because it's a pouch in your back.
Cool.
It's cool. Like, he is so like up, like just very, very laser focused on
He's also one of those pretentious writers, and I've met many of them, where you know, like the title of his book is Tears of the Anarin.
Yeah.
And everyone pronounce it Tears of the Anarin.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. Tears of the Anarin.
What does he say? It's like Tolkien's, there's like a letter or something in Tolkien's alphabet that he was like kind of feed off.
Yeah. But he's very highfalutin. And it's kind of funny because like in that seat, there's a scene where they're all at a diner. They've just met, they're getting to know one another, and they're really like excited to be working at this publication and, you know, kind of like being the next generation of science fiction authors. And they agree to read each other's stuff. And as a writer, I went through that phase and I was like, oh no, no. Like, you never, ever want to read another writer's stuff if they haven't yet been published, because you run into that situation where like the writing's bad. And if you're honest with them, they're going to get pissed. Mm-hmm. And if you lie to them, you're not going to be helping them at all. So it puts you in a very weird position. And I learned a long time ago, never read another guy's stuff unless it's already published.
I remember you and I were together one time and this guy came up and asked you to read something that he wanted Kadish to read.
No shit.
Yeah.
Guys, Kadish is kind of a big deal.
This happens
a
lot.
I think it was at the convention.
Probably.
Probably.
And Kadish just straight up said, nope. Can't do it, buddy. I'm sorry. it was weird.
It also kind of, you know, just speaking as a novelist, it opens you up to lawsuits because they can say like, oh, you stole my idea or like whatever. But the big thing is like amongst other writers, if you read someone else's stuff and it's bad, most writers aren't mature enough to take honest critique and they view it as attacking them. And you kind of saw it with CW in this where he's like, okay, I'm going to listen to what they say. And they make like, he makes a change, but it's like a stupid change that doesn't really change anything. Mm-hmm. And this is all so accurate to the way writers actually operate that like, as I was watching it, like my heart was pounding because I was like, I've been here. I've dealt with these people. I know what's going on. And that's why this episode just rang so true to me is because like whoever wrote this
knows
what writing. Yeah,
I knew when I was watching this episode that Kadish was going to be all over this thing.
Yeah. Sure. I, you know, what's weird is like, I don't know that world. Okay. That's Kadish's little realm. I have no idea what happens in it. But when I watched this, I was like, it all made so much sense. Mm. Like that is how people would act.
I just enjoyed the human relationships that were built on this episode with this, with the foundation of this thing.
Yeah. Jesus, what they can because do with this, three this, characters this, in how many, 35 minutes or something. It's insane how well this was put together.
It just explained CW's whole reason for existence.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciated that.
So there were three scenes that really stuck out to me in this episode. The first one is when, so basically CW gets up the courage to ask Isaac Asimov to take a look at his manuscript for Tales of Anarin and, Tears of the Anarin.
It's Tears. Because Anne said, why don't you just make it Tears? It makes more sense because they're always crying. And he's like, no, it's Tears.
So he finally gets up the courage and Isaac Asimov is like, yeah, sure. And because Isaac Asimov was just like a crazy like guy who wrote constantly, he basically rewrites the entire book.
Yeah.
And when CW gets the manuscript delivered to him and he sees like basically like every line is crossed out and it's been replaced by something Isaac Asimov wrote.
The note that I said, hey, I made some adjustments to it.
Use them.
Use them if you want or not. It's okay with me. Right. And literally every line of the entire book has got a red line through it with his handwritten scribbles redoing every single thing. It was.
I thought that scene. Heartbreaking. I thought that scene was a dream. Or like a nightmare sequence.
Yeah.
And then when they flashed to him and I was like, oh no, that really happened.
Well, what's interesting is that, so when he initially gets all those notes and he realizes that like Isaac Asimov just didn't like anything he had written, he goes through this crisis of like existential crisis, I guess you'd say. And so like he goes out into the rain And he's just kind of walking along the streets and he sees a Pong game in the window of like a, of an electronics store.
Yep.
And he has this epiphany where he's like, I can see the future.
Yeah.
And he basically achieves what A.E. Goldsmith had been telling him to do all along, where it's like, I can see the future of storytelling. It's not going to be in books and magazines. It's going to be in video games. And he goes and he kind of expresses this to the group at the publishing house. And, and they all look at him like he's crazy.
Dude, that, and they laugh him out of the office.
Dude, that scene though was so funny because he goes on this like this monologue of like epic proportion. And he's like, one pixel will become 10, will become 50, will become a million, will become a billion. Storytelling will
and
be
the
this.
Way that it's filmed too, like it's rising up beneath him.
Yeah,
and so he's bigger, like larger than life.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they're like, what are you talking
about?
Dude,
the editor of the place was like, what the fuck did you just say? And it totally just brings everything crashing down.
And that was the catalyst for him to go back and be like, you know what? I'm just going to use the book that Isaac Asimov wrote as my book. And that's what leads to him winning his Nebula Award.
Yeah.
Brutal.
It's also one of the reasons why he hasn't been able to finish the trilogy of his books is because like,
it's not his story.
He didn't write it.
Yeah. He didn't write it. And he's really insecure.
Yeah. That kind of broke my heart a little bit.
Yeah. I know.
Cause we kind of knew that C.W. Longbottom was a hack. But I think in the bottom of our hearts, we kind of were like rooting for the guy.
Well, this whole time we've been like, yeah, he's a drunk and yeah, he's this, but he has that Nebula Award.
Yeah.
And now we get his whole backstory and we're like, oh shit.
He's like, yeah.
That's not
like
even his award.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him.
I kind of did too.
Yeah. And there's this great scene where A.E. Goldsmith goes up to congratulate him on winning the Nebula and C.W. says, yeah, I know it probably reads as a poor man's Isaac Asimov. And she's like, no, it reads just like Asimov.
Yeah.
And she called him out.
She knows exactly what happened.
Yeah. And the look on his face when she says that, like there's just this moment where he knows that she knows. And he just is like, thank you for the compliment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Such a lovely compliment.
This is the moment that he starts spiraling down in alcoholism and whoring.
Yeah. God, this is such a good freaking episode. Yeah,
and that leads us to the third favorite scene, which is he's at a Ren Faire roasting chicken.
Yes!
and Ian and Poppy find him.
And Ian's like, this is the guy that I was talking about right here.
And Poppy's real.
And Poppy's like, texting. He's like, what the fuck are you doing texting, dickhead? Look at this. And she's like, whoa, what do you want?
Longbottom.
Yeah. And he's sitting there like doing rotisserie chickens.
And he gets like his second chance at that moment. And it was just a good way to end the episode.
Yeah. It was really cool. It was really cool. Okay, before we continue the conversation, let's hear a word from some sponsors.
Ah, the sounds of summer. Can it get any better? Oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Discover the intuitive technology of the Lexus Hybrid lineup. Explore the possibilities of a Lexus at the Golden Opportunity sales event, now through September 6th. Click the banner to discover more. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
And then that feeds directly in. So the second episode of this, like half of the season, it's basically a part 1, part 2.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's episode 7. It's entitled Peter, in the sense that Peter Cromwell, one of the Tripod, is kind of like the main focus of the episode. Mm-hmm. And basically, Rachel, the lesbian, little boy looking, Rachel Maddow looking tester.
Come on, Jude. They make fun of her the entire episode.
It's fine when the show does it.
Yeah. So basically, Rachel accompanies CW on an acrimonious visit to his former friend turned rival, Peter Cromwell. And like this episode, it's the perfect like second episode to what we just saw backstory. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I almost feel like they should be like a 1 hour episode because they really do lead into the other.
That's how perfectly. I watched it.
Yes. Yeah. I binge watched it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this, this opening scene where they're driving in the car and she's like going, you know, I got to say yes to things sometimes. And I've just really decided I'm going to say yes to everything today. And he's in the back going, oh, I'm sorry. Were you talking to me? There's some octaves to the female voice that I just can't hear. And she's like, well, at least you know I'm a girl. And that like set the tone for the rest of this episode. It was so goddamn funny.
This episode was fantastic.
It was freaking hilarious.
Like with the last episode, Kadish really related to. With this one, I really did. Because he is massively drunk.
Oh my gosh.
In a mess. the whole episode.
CW, not
Cable. Yeah, CW. But it was freaking, it was so funny because like they're in the car and they're like, so are you going to go out? He's like, no, he's going to apologize to me and then I'm going to fuck his wife. He was, and she was like, what are you going to do?
It's like metaphorically.
Yeah. Not literally. She's been dead for a while.
Until he decides to literally fuck his wife.
Yeah, he mistakes Peter's caretaker for Peter's new
his
wife.
His nurse.
Yeah.
He thinks his nurse is his new wife. Because at this point in the story, Anne has passed away.
So as good as the last episode was, as far like writing and character development and having that backstory, like this episode, the actor who plays C.W. Longbottom just freaking sells it so well.
He's so good.
He's so funny the whole time.
It also helps that John Hurt is the one playing Peter Cromwell.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you get to see F. Murray Abraham and John Hurt kind of play off of each other.
So Somebody texted me. It might have been Kadish, but we had like a group text. And one of you guys were like, guys, if you go back and watch that first episode, that actor, the young actor,
that was Kadish. Yeah.
It was playing a freaking spot on impersonation of
John Hurt.
Of John Hurt.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And William I was like, what is it?
Oh, William Hurt?
Yeah.
Is it? Sorry. Okay. We're really bad with names, guys. and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I actually went back and watched it again. And you're right. Like the tone of his voice, the inflection in his conversation, it's freaking spot on.
Like you don't know it when you first see him because the way that the episodes play out, you see the younger version. Then you realize William Hurt is playing the older version. But that young actor is just nailing his William Hurt impression. It's insane. Like you have to go back and watch it after you've seen episode 7 to really see how good of an impression that guy was.
Yeah. But when he comes, the first thing we see him and he comes down and he's like, oh, how are you doing? My young boy or whatever. He's talking to the girl.
Young man.
Yeah. Hello, young man. And he's like, I'm a girl. And he's like, oh, apologies. It's the haircut. this show just keeps digging into that kind of humor. I think it's freaking hilarious.
And because Peter has so many like children and grandchildren, CW pretends that Rachel is his granddaughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he starts off, he's like, yeah, I had my driver bring me. Mm-hmm. And then when he learns like, oh, the motivation for Peter is like family. And he's like, oh, yes. Well, she's also one of my grandchildren.
Yeah. He's like, oh, 10 is a lot of grandchildren. I have 12. And this is one of them. It's like your driver's your grandkid. Yes.
And she's gay.
And she's gay.
And he leaves the room and she's just standing there. She's like, I am.
Yep.
And he keeps forgetting her name.
Oh my God.
He gives her a brand new name, Calliope or California.
Something ridiculous.
And he keeps changing it throughout the evening.
This is the running gag in this episode that I found the funniest was every time, not just once in a while, every time somebody addressed her, it was a different name.
Uh-huh.
It was like, oh, California or Calamari or you know, Confucius.
Copernicus.
And she's just sitting there like, yep, that's me.
the thing that made this episode stand out is that, so out in the first episode, basically Peter and AE have like a love connection and they get involved. And CW is very jealous of this.
Yeah.
And so he begins to resent both of them more and more. And it's clear that AE is the real talent out of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter is just like CW in the sense that he struggles to tell like really good science fiction stories. And AE, through their relationship, she kind of carries him along throughout their life to the point where Peter was being published by AE's publisher strictly as a favor to her because they didn't really like his stuff. And this carried on with CW's resentment towards him because not only did he steal the girl that CW secretly loved, but he also got like, you know, the book deals that CW wanted to have. And he didn't feel like Peter had earned them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the entire episode, it basically comes down to the fact that Peter's dying and, you know, his health is deteriorating. And CW is there under the impression that Peter wanted to apologize to him, but it was really Peter's daughter who set it up because she wanted her dad and CW to kind of make amends before he passed away.
Yeah.
Because her mother would always like tell her about like, you know, their origins essentially. And so this entire time, CW is just filled with jealousy and rage directed towards Peter. And he's trying to like break him down. And eventually he asks like, where's the final book in your series? Like there are 19 books out. The 20th was supposed to be the end of it. And basically CW is like, why didn't you ever finish it? And he's like, oh, you know, like I'm still, you know, like I didn't bother working on it or whatever. And eventually CW finds the manuscript for this 20th book in Peter's desk when he's like trying to take a shit in his desk because he hates him.
Oh God, I was gonna, you buried the lead, man. I was gonna say that. That was one of my favorite scenes. CW is just blitz drunk and he's pissed off. He's like, I'm gonna get out of here. I'll get out of your hair. And I can't remember her name, but she's like, oh good, we're gonna leave. And he's like, no, I'm gonna go take a shit. Oh,
Rachel.
Rachel. And he goes up to his office and he's like, he pulls the desk open and he sees that book that he hadn't published yet, the manuscript. And he's like, I'm going to take a shit in his desk. And he's, well,
what really happened was Anne was the one that was getting him all of these book deals. Mm-hmm. And then once she passed, her publishers wouldn't publish the last story because there was no reason to, because they didn't have that cash cow as Anne to make them.
That was an epic rant that he went on, though.
So he did write it, but no one would publish it. Yeah, and so it stayed in his desk.
It's very heartbreaking for Peter because he knows like his shortcomings as a writer. And so when CW confronts him about it, it's like, it's such a blow and you can tell like it really affected him. And when CW basically takes Rachel to leave, it looks like he's so drunk and he's so out of it.
Yeah.
It looks like he's having a heart attack. And so Rachel brings him back to the house where he recovers. The next morning he wakes up and AE and Peter's daughter is there and she's the spitting image of AE.
Same actress.
Yeah. And, her little conversation with CW really affects him and it makes him realize, maybe I was coming at this the wrong way. And so he goes and he meets Peter out by this orchard where AE created like a lemon orchard because she loved lemons. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there kind of like looking out over this field. And CW confesses that he's been reading every single one of Peter's books. He's a huge fan. He loves what he did. And he wants Peter to read him the final manuscript so he can find out how the story ends.
Yeah. It was a beautiful ending, dude. Seriously.
It was really
I'm going to be straight up with you guys.
Did you cry?
Almost.
What?
I welled up. I didn't cry.
Wow.
But man, that was a really emotional scene.
It was.
And that scene sold me on the entire story we'd just been told. There was a really good payoff there.
It was fantastic.
There's nothing wrong with crying.
No, I know.
I got a little teary eyed too.
It was super emotional. Yes. Because I have a couple of friends out there that I haven't talked to in a long time. And I would very much like to see what's up with these guys. So I just kind of felt a little bit of a connection there. And it was moving. It was an emotional scene. And, it was just kind of cool to see two old friends
kind of reconcile
and before it was too late.
But it was also like we spent the entire episode seeing CW be this huge jerk.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And at the end, like you got to see how he genuinely felt. And it was something that was like kind and heartfelt. And it was just such a beautiful way to kind of end that story thread where these two guys who both loved the same woman came together, put aside their differences and bonded over the fact that they both love storytelling and writing and they're fans of each other.
Yeah.
And it was just so moving and wonderful. Like these last two episodes, episode 6 and 7 of this season, were probably some of the best TV I've seen in a long time.
They were really freaking good.
They were really,
really good.
Like not just for like a comedy about a video game company.
Just in general.
TV. Just fiction in general.
What's the total runtime of these two episodes? It's about an hour, right?
Yeah.
I feel like they were a little longer than
maybe more than an hour. Hour and 20 minutes. Maybe, let's just say that. Okay. Add 10 minutes to each one. In an hour and 20 minutes, which is less than a normal runtime for a movie, you got connected to these characters that you had. These were never introduced in the last season or at all. Yeah. This is the first time
you get to see story.
Yeah. And it the freaking power that it had at the end.
You can separate these two episodes
from
the entire series and watch them on their own. And it would still
I want to see really the adventures of CW Longbottom.
Yeah.
and like what I felt like was really such beautiful storytelling was the fact that like all along, like from the moment this episode opened, we know CW is in the wrong.
Yeah.
You kind of don't care though, because you're like, we like CW. Quirky CW. But like the journey of him getting to the place where he finally like he feels so justified in his anger towards Peter. And then when you finally see him get to the point, that's great storytelling. Yeah,
it was fantastic. And I know we seem like we're gushing overly about this, but seriously.
No, it's really good.
It's really freaking good.
It's a really good couple episodes.
Yeah. And I mean, that's besides the fact that Kate is just basically CW Longbottom to begin with. But it's just, you just drink a little less.
A lot less angry.
Too. Yeah.
A little more chill.
Yeah, a little more chill. But yeah, there was a great bit of episode here. And it was
just a strong television.
It's what for me, it's like writing. We talk about this show, like Mythic Quest, like why the hell isn't anybody else talking about this show? This is why we say that.
Yeah.
Cause this is like way better than anything Marvel's been putting out lately.
Seriously.
Way better.
The thought that's going into the storytelling of this show, it's miles beyond anything else that's being put out right
now. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Like you watch, like we watched Falcon Winter Soldier. We were like, Jesus Christ, can this end already? Mm-hmm. We watched this and I'm like, holy shit, that was amazing.
And you know, you're making me wonder if like, I don't know, we've talked a lot about how like the Apple TV shows aren't getting a lot of
attention.
Yeah. And we've talked about like, if you follow us, then you know that we have an obsession for the show C. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about like how this season, it's a whole new ball game as far as like storytelling. It's making me wonder if like Apple TV is holding the writers and the content creators of what they're putting out, like at a higher level of like just putting it at a higher expectation as far as storytelling.
It
kind of
seems that way, doesn't it? It kind of seems that way. Yeah. Also, I think Marvel.
I'm really impressed with what Apple is putting out.
It's like, this isn't some Netflix bullshit nonsense series.
Like when Apple TV first became like a thing, because I have an Apple device and they offered it for free. And I was like, what do you guys got? You ain't got shit.
Yeah.
You got nothing coming out that I want to watch. I'm not going to subscribe to your freaking $6 a month thing.
Yeah. Right.
And then we kind of joked about it because season one was a little goofy.
It was a little shaky.
But then we started watching Mythic Quest because before season two came out of C, we were like, oh, let's check out this other Apple TV.
Just watch
thing.
The same MMO
And we
show.
Were like, holy shit, this is hilarious.
So yeah.
And now I'm like, C is my top freaking streaming service that I check out now because their shows have been on point.
Yeah, well, what's goofy is this. This is a straight up drama. These two episodes.
And yet they're still hilarious.
And they're still funny.
Yeah. But they're on a comedy show. But man, this is some high stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know the word I'm looking for is because it's like, I didn't know what I was getting into really when this episode started. And I'm like, man, I'm glad I could watch the rest of it. It was just,
it's one of those rare shows where like every character is interesting and fun and you love them and you love to watch them.
Yeah.
And when we get their personal stories, like you just want more of them. And the fact that they can make a show that's like genuinely like hilarious, but also like this heartfelt,
really heartfelt
and dramatic. It's amazing to me because we don't get that type of storytelling.
No, we do not.
And like to just say, oh, well, what's Mythic Quest about? To just say like, oh, it's about these people creating
an MMO company
does not sound interesting at all. Like who knew you could get so much like emotion out of a show about people creating a video game?
Yeah.
We started out this thing. Oh, it's like The Office in a video game company.
Kind of. Yeah, it's way beyond
but
that.
But it's way past
beyond that.
Yeah.
Like seriously, this is like, I know we love season two. We're having a ton of fun with that because we're geeking out over all the cool shit. But this is like, as far as like writing goes and storytelling and character development, this is it.
This is the show.
Yeah. And it's Rob McElhenney.
McElhenney. It's a hard name.
Yeah. And Charlie Day, the guys behind It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they're the ones behind this. And I feel like they're so talented to get you to care about all these characters, but at the same time, laugh your ass off. Like it's really,
dude, when he was blitz drunk, CW was blitz drunk and he went up to his desk and he's like, I'm going to take a shit in your desk. I was belly laughing, dude. And then later it pays it off. Just a little quip comment. And he's like, well, I read your manuscript and he's like,
I found it in your desk.
He's like, the one you took a shit in. Yeah. It was like, I was like, oh my God, dude, it was so funny. It's incredible. We've gushed enough about this episode.
We need to move on.
Yeah. Next episode. What happens after that? Okay. Before we continue the conversation, let's hear a word from some sponsors.
All right. So the next episode is called Juice Box. And basically Ian presents his half of the expansion and ends up in the hospital. And David ponders his legacy. So
I've kind of forgot.
David, poor David.
Yeah. David's one of those characters that you love how pathetic he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these two episodes, we've kind of left the story of
CW
yeah. that has come full circle. Well, we're focusing on the other characters.
Yeah, yeah. We're back to the Mythic Quest offices. But one of the interesting kind of like holdovers from the previous episode is that Rachel's experience with Peter and CW makes her realize she wants to become a writer. And so like in this episode, she applies to the Berklee School of Writing because she wants to go there with her girlfriend who applied to go there for programming and stuff like that. And they're still working on the was it Grumpy Goat?
Yeah.
Grouchy Goat.
And in this one, so like it opens up with Ian presenting his version of the expansion, which is Zeus, and it's all very dramatic. And then Poppy presents her version of the expansion, which is basically
Hera.
And it's a
completely different kind of game.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like you can make a change in the world on your server and it persists throughout all the servers.
Yeah.
But then like in the middle of the presentation,
it crashes all of the servers. Game.
We can't do that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's not going to work. That's impossible. And then the server just, oh, that's the blue screen of death. And she's like, oh shit. I don't know what to do. And she hangs up on the investors and Ian's like, oh yeah, that'll fix it. Just hang up on them.
and then, so like she has a meeting with all of her programmers and they're trying to figure out like how they can fix Hera. And they're all telling her like, it can't be fixed.
Yeah, this is impossible.
And she's getting pissed off at them. And then David shows up and it's like, Ian's in the hospital. And she's like, what? And he's like, he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And so she goes to the hospital and Ian's there. And basically like it's one of those weird episodes where like it's about Poppy and Ian's relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so like he wants her to like sing to him and she brings him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know this is kind of weird, but would you mind just like kind of singing and touching my hair? And she's like, what? No.
And then he's like still noodling her. Cause he's like, I don't really like that song. Can you pick a better song?
what's interesting is that, so when the doctor, like Poppy is obviously like very
distraught. Yeah.
Because she does care for Ian. And the doctor comes in and it's like, oh, you just passed out. You didn't have a heart attack. Like,
yeah, because he was dehydrated.
Oh, she was pissed. And it was hilarious, the line that she said too. She's like, well, you probably dehydrated yourself because you could be all like vascular or some weird shit. And he's like, that's ridiculous, Poppy. I'm already vascular.
But it was one of those things where basically like Poppy thinks the worst of Ian and she's like storming out. And Ian, kind of confronts her on the fact that, like, she never was vulnerable with him as he was with her.
Yeah.
And he asks, but before all this goes down, he asks her, like, what did you think of my version of the expansion? She's like, I thought it was boring and derivative. And he's like, yeah, it is. And he's like, you're the only one who was ever, like, honest with me about this stuff. And so, like, he's feeling very insecure. And that was part of the reason why he was so stressed out and dehydrated to begin with. But the episode ends with her coming back in. And, when she revealed what her biggest fear was, it was singing in front of people. And she starts singing to him and patting his hair. And so she's confronting her biggest fear, even though it seems silly, but she's doing it because she cares about Ian.
Yeah.
And it kind of cements that bond that created the game to begin with. And it was very heartfelt.
Another one of those things where two characters that you already like, and it just goes deeper into the relationship.
And I love how fleshed out the relationship is. Like, I hate it when you have like a show and it's two friends and you're like, are they, aren't they? And there's none of that bullshit with this. It's that the foundation of the relationship is them working together and being honest with each other.
It's kind of like me and Kadesh. We hate each other, but at the same time, we really love each other. I'd sing you to sleep.
Speak for yourself.
Anyway, there was a part to this episode. This is when the two chicks like break up, right? Like, is that the next episode or this episode?
They don't really break up.
Well, they don't break up, but I mean, like, they go their separate ways. Thank you.
No, that's next.
Is the next episode? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll get to that in the next episode then. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. But in this episode, so basically, Joe and who's the monetization guy, Danny Pudi's character?
Brad.
Yeah, Brad. So Brad is basically asked by David to help him move.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And Joe, the assistant, you know, who's now like kind of striking out on her own, kind of makes fun of it because you only ask nice people to help you move. And Brad's like, I'm not a nice person.
Mm-hmm. How dare you?
Yeah. Like, don't ask me to move. So cute. Yeah. I'm a shark and you're like a little mouse.
Yeah. Like, and she keeps pointing out that, you know, Brad's like too nice and all this stuff. And then she is convinced by Brad's brother to do some insider trading that she doesn't know is illegal. And Brad like points it out and he's like, he just got you on insider trading. Yeah. You're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
He's like,
my brother
out.
Just totally scapegoated you.
Yeah. That scene where she was like, oh, I'm a shark. That's Poppy's voice. She's like, I'm a shark. I'm doing this freaking badass thing. And he's like, oh yeah, you're totally a shark. And you're also a felon. And she's like, what? No, what? No, that's crazy. And that scene where he's like, yeah, no, that's insider trading and you're going to go to jail. And she like runs out like, fuck, shit. And then she leaves. And then David comes walking out. Hey, how you doing? Fuck you. And he just walks by. I was freaking dying laughing, dude. That scene was so funny.
And it's also kind of funny because they've been doing it throughout the season is how like Joe, David and Brad's relationship is like, you know, the breakup of the couple.
Yeah.
And they see like a new person and. So like the whole relationship drama between the three of them is kind of
which gets
funny.
Paid off later too. Yeah,
because Joe started off as David's assistant, but she's drawn to power. So she jumped ship to Brad and then she met Brad's more powerful brother.
Yeah. What was his name? Zach or something? Or I can't remember. Shane? I don't remember. Anyway.
I just Gray remember White. He was the intern in Bloodsucking Bastards.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Dr. God. Studio Dr. God, right? Is that
something like that?
Something like that.
There's
like,
a great scene in this episode where C.W. Longbottom tries to write the eulogy for David. And it's so pathetic.
And he's like, you're paying for your ex-wife's condo? You got to give me something to work with here, man. This is pathetic.
Yeah, like we've all watched this season multiple times. Mm-hmm. But like, it's been a while since we watched it while we're recording this. So some of the details are fuzzy.
I should have rewatched a little bit the last week or two. It's been like 6 weeks.
Has it been?
Oh yeah.
Oh dude, I binge watch it. It's been so great.
We kept meaning to record this review earlier and we kept pushing it back and pushing it back.
Here's what happened with me is we decided we were going to watch it, but we planned it like a month out.
Yeah, a while ago.
Right.
And then messed it up.
No. I watched this before the convention.
Right.
But I watched the first episode of the CEW Longbottom one, and then I didn't turn it off until the end of the season was over.
You just watched the
whole thing. The entire season in one afternoon. like 8 weeks ago or whatever it was. I'm
a little behind.
I'm a little like, oh yeah, that's what happened. But yeah.
This is one of my favorite shows that we've
watched. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I almost want to make, and it's not really my wife's humor, but I want to make her watch it because I feel like it's so good. I think she might get into it.
I remember when we watched the first season, the first couple episodes were kind of rough because we didn't know who the characters are.
Yeah.
We didn't know what style of humor this thing was. And one of the smart things Apple did was they released the first season as bingeable. Mm-hmm. And like by the time we got to the end of the first season, we were on board.
You didn't want to shut it off.
Yeah. We knew who the characters were, like Dookie Shoes with like the Pooty Shoes. Yeah. And so like by the time this season started, so it was week to week and we waited until all the episodes were out so we could watch them all. And this season was just as good, if not better, than the first season.
They made a cool comedy show about
video games.
And then they turned it into like a really good show about, you know,
family drama or friends.
Family friend dynamics and stuff. And I'm like, how dare you make me want to
spanning many generations.
I know.
And they kept it funny.
Yeah, they kept it really funny. And also they kept the video game aspect to it.
Oh yeah.
With Hera. And her trying to design this new thing. That scene where she's down there with like the coding department or whatever.
Just being a complete rag.
Completely off the hook. Like off the hook. Like, you got to make this work. And they're like, it's impossible. Shut up, Anthony.
Yeah, Poppy's a terrible boss.
Terrible boss. Remember that scene where they got the hallway of the Mythic Quest?
Again, that's the last
next season? Okay, sorry. Go ahead. All right. Next. What's
that? We need to move on to the next episode.
Yeah, let's go to the next episode. Okay, before we continue the conversation, let's hear a word from some sponsors.
All right.
Alex is dying to get there.
Yeah, so the final episode of the season is called TBD, otherwise known as To Be Determined. And Ian and Poppy collaborate again. Rachel and Dana figure out their next move, and Brad looks to settle a feud once and for all. So in this episode, basically, the Rachel and Dana relationship comes to fruition where they quit their job. And David is very distressed about it because he looks at everyone as a family and everyone starts leaving.
Yeah. And they both decide to go to Berkeley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it starts with David gets broken up by the widow he was seeing. Mm-hmm. And so he's very depressed.
This is so funny when he walks in, he's like, you know what? This is for the best. He's like, I had a bit of a trouble with my significant other. You know, I got down on one knee and she didn't like that. So I got down on two knees and Ian and Poppy were like, oh, it's just like, he's like, you know, like wolves do. Sometimes they show their belly.
And then doesn't he just like start crying at that point? He's like, she didn't like that. So then I started sobbing.
So then I started crying. Apparently women don't like people who beg.
And this all comes after Ian and Poppy both tell him that mom and dad are back together after like the juice box incident from the previous episode. And so they're kind of pooling their resources to work on the next expansion. And David's very happy about that. But after he reveals all that stuff, Ian and Poppy are just kind of like, we'll see you later. We don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. He's like, you know, my girlfriend just broke up with me, but that's okay because you guys are my family. Real family.
And this, like, David, like, really kind of like, he's like, this is my Mythic Quest family. And in this episode,
and he has like a digital frame. And he puts all of his colleagues in the frame.
And they all start quitting. And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So basically, Rachel and Dana quit. And then it turns out that Rachel got into Berkeley, but Dana didn't. And so she goes back to Ian and Poppy and she's like, you know, she shows them the Grumpy Goat or Grouchy Goat video game. And they decide to kind of foster her programming education in exchange for, like, you know, a certain number of years.
I loved this scene. I thought it was so funny because they were like talking to each other and then she would pipe up. They were like, shut up. We're not talking to you.
Yeah.
And they would continue talking like, what are we going to do with her? Oh, we've got to pay for her. Of course. Nobody else is going to write this bullshit. Like they're going off on these tangents about like, anybody over or under 30 like really cares about their feelings, but nobody else does. And they go off on this big tangent and it's freaking hilarious. And I love the dynamic that they had during that scene. It was really, really funny. Mm-hmm. And then when they're like, yeah, we'll pay for it. You'll go to Mythic Quest. We'll have you on a contract so we don't look like assholes when you go work for somebody else. And we'll pay for your education. You'll be good to go. And she's like, really? I feel so grateful. And he's like, oh my God, shut up. Like, we don't care about how you're feeling. it was a great moment. It was another great, like, this show's really good at like laser dialing down on the ridiculousness of today's culture and like making fun of it. Like we talked about last season, made fun of like the cancel culture stuff. This season did that too.
Yeah.
It's really on point.
And I thought what was really funny about this scene was that she originally went to them because she wanted to talk about her feelings and they just fixed what was wrong and never let her talk about her feelings.
Good.
And like, she was like, wait, you can do that? And they were like, yeah, we're fucking badass.
Yeah. We're trying to run a company here.
We can do whatever we want. She was like, let me tell you about my feelings now. And they were like, no, fuck you. Go away.
Yeah.
We fixed your problem.
When Jude says it, it's so much funnier.
Yeah. And then like when she gets back together with Rachel, so they decide that Rachel's going to go to Berkeley to learn how to write and Dana's going to stay there and
learn how to code.
Yeah.
But then they have sex in the office and it cuts to like the HR lady. And that was the one thing that she told them not to do. And she can kind of sense
what's happening. She's like looking around.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah. It was really good. And, but I was just going to say like this, the whole interaction between the two of them, their relationship was the least interesting to me. In
but this
whole show.
Episode was the most interesting focus on the relationship.
Yes, but I'm also really glad that they're not together anymore because I also found them to be the most annoying characters in the show.
I was not invested on the whole will they, won't they.
Yeah, I was like, I'm like, get over it. I don't care. And I'm really glad that
and
they
I
kind
think
of like.
That was the point is that like how the HR lady was like, ugh, fine, we get it. You guys are in love.
Yeah.
Quit making out in front of me. That's how the audience feels too.
Yes, we are the HR lady.
Yeah, and so. The other kind of sub-story in this episode was that Brad turns himself into the SEC, claiming credit for the insider trading so that he can get his street cred back, but also gets Joe off the hook. And the SEC shows up and like they just want to talk to him, but he wants them to perp walk him out of the office.
And he's like basically begging them to cuff him. And they're like, we don't even have handcuffs. So Joe puts a coat over his wrists so he can pretend and that he's hiding.
They walk him out the office. She's like, nothing to see here. Just a felon.
Go back to your workstations.
Yeah. And so Brad's going to serve like 6 months in like some type of like, you know, minimum security prison. Yeah.
Hardened crim.
Be back for season three.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after that happens, so like, you know, Joe's boss is in jail now. And she's kind of like contemplating, you know, like what just happened and like how wrong she was. And David is still kind of like feeling abandoned, and they kind of meet up on the rooftop because they both went up there to kind of clear their heads. And David kind of realizes, I have absolutely no power. And Joe's like, that's what I need right now. I need someone with no power. And so she's like, take me back, David, take me back. And so like
she needs to detox from her like power hungry. Yeah.
But her willingness to come back to David, it's like he gets his ex back, you know, even though it's his assistant. And so like he gets that family that he needs in Joe. And Joe gets like the complete lack of power that David brings to the equation.
One of the funniest lines in this little interaction that we have on top of the roof is actually when we're like fading away from the conversation. They're talking about how they have to hire like a bunch of new people. Like, oh, we have to hire a new creative director. We have to hire this. And David's like, yeah, it's got to be a man though. And Joe's like, oh, totally. Yeah, it can't be a chick. And he's like, yeah, but don't say that in front of anybody else. Okay? We'll get canceled.
And like, doesn't he say like, take notes or something? And she's like, I can't. Brad made me throw away my computer.
This show is so good. And just that's like literally as the camera's fading away, we're getting these freaking really awesome quips. Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
And the main story between Ian and Poppy is one where basically Ian goes and looks at Hera and he's like, this can't be done because the game just wasn't designed for this.
Uh-huh. The base program is already set.
Exactly.
So you can't alter that now.
Exactly. So Poppy is very kind of like distraught about that. And they're trying to figure out what they're going to do for their, their new expansion. And CW takes them to this hallway. You want to?
Oh, yeah. So it was funny because the line that Poppy said, she's like, yeah, check out this is Mythic Quest. Everything that we've ever built is in this one hallway, whether, you know, it's like props or sketches or whatever. It's all in this hallway. And he's like, wow, did you do this all yourself? He's like, nah, I got the art department to come in the middle of the night and come do it, which is another dig from last season where they got the art department.
Because the poor art department is constantly working
completely
on whatever bullshit they come up with.
The redheaded stepkids of the entire place.
They just get completely shit on, but nothing can exist without them. Uh-huh. So they're like really, really essential. But it was one of those other funny lines. So they're walking down this hallway of memories and CW Longbottom is like, it's like watching a child be birthed and then through its infancy and its adolescence and its rebellious stage and then to its glorious adulthood. And she's legal now. And Poppy's like, oh, shut up.
That scene kind of messed me up a little bit because, I mean, you guys know me. I used to be a really hardcore World of Warcraft player, right? Well, World of Warcraft sucks now. I don't even play. And I don't know anybody really who does. They used to play. Their subscriptions are like down in the toilet.
Yeah.
And this last expansion has been awful. I mean, they've been awful for a long time. So I just kind of like saw the parallel there because Blizzard, the company that makes it, they need to start over. They need to make a new game. And, you know, and that's kind of what...
That's what this shows.
That's where we went here. Yeah. And so...
Yeah, so basically they come to the conclusion that the story behind Mythic Quest has run its course. Mm-hmm. And so Ian and Poppy basically quit to start a new company and start with a foundation that can do what Poppy's, like, you know, persistent universe was going to bring to Mythic Quest. And this whole episode is very interesting because they end the season in a way where, like, if there was no season three... It would be a fantastic ending for all the characters. Like it'd be a satisfying conclusion to the show.
We do not need a season three at this point.
Yeah, but luckily we're going to get one.
Great.
So awesome. It's been confirmed that it's coming back for season three.
Fantastic.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes. Do you have any final thoughts on this season?
Absolutely. Yeah. For me, this is, I know I enjoy watching other shows more, but this, like if somebody's like, what's the best show you're watching right now? It's Mythic Quest. Like the writing, the characters, the humor, everything about it is like triple A. This is amazing. If you're not watching the show and you're a nerd or a video game streamer,
you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. I know people are like, oh, Apple TV, you know, especially people who don't have Apple products. They're like, oh, whatever, it's Apple TV. They're just putting out some bullshit.
Spend the $6 just for this show.
Yeah, just binge 100%. The two seasons. It's worth it.
It's very well worth it. It's a fast binge.
Yep.
You can watch the whole thing, both seasons, in probably a day. For real.
Yeah.
Because you won't
stop. 20 minutes. Or,
you won't stop once you watch if you're really into this show.
Yeah. It's one of the best shows that I'm watching right now or have watched. And it's something that, like, because for the podcast, I've had to rewatch the same season over and over again just to keep it fresh in my mind. It never gets old.
No.
It just keeps getting better and better. The more you watch it, the more in depth it gets. It's a lot of fun.
And you guys, Apple is not sponsoring us. Yeah, no. They're not getting us to say this other than creating great content that we can't help but obsess over.
I wish we had freaking Apple money.
Outside the few shows we've watched, I don't know if their other shows are any good or not.
But I really enjoyed Servant. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
But I kept like, stop thinking about it.
Was that the one?
With the doll, the baby.
Yeah.
With the,
the girl from 6 Feet Under and the guy from Harry Potter.
I couldn't do that show. I watched the first episode. I said, nope.
It's real weird, but it's good writing.
Okay. But they got Foundation coming.
Yeah. Foundation is coming.
This other show, Invasion. Yeah.
I do appreciate that Apple is doing some shows that are different than the other.
Not lazy?
Yeah. I think that's the word. That's a good word to do.
I'm so sick of lazy writing, and to be able to invest in something that I don't have to, like, when we first started watching this, we were like, okay, let's give it one episode and just see. Mm-hmm. And just like you, like, we could not stop watching it. It's that good.
It's like,
and I'm so sick of shows that I can't trust to, like, not let me down.
Yeah.
And like with these shows, like with C and with Mythic Quest, like I'm fully invested and like I trust them to take me on a journey.
It's like Apple's doing the thing that Netflix should be doing.
Yeah.
Whereas Netflix is making crap. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Where Netflix is, they're basically making expensive
show vomit.
Yeah, and seeing what sticks.
Or they're just like taking all this crap and like throwing it against the wall and seeing what sticks. And
then the shit that they make that's actually good, like Norseman, they don't renew.
Yeah, right.
That's
like, the fuck are you doing? Yeah, that is the best idiots. Show you have.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm getting worse.
No, I get it. Because it's very strange to me.
Yeah, yeah. Apple seems to be on point. Well, at least with the shows that we've been watching, they've been really on point.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, Kadesh, what are your final thoughts on this season?
This is one of the best shows on TV right now. Mm-hmm. I love this show backwards and forwards. The writing's spot on. The comedy is spot on. The heartfelt moments are spot on. Everything about this show just works. And I feel really bad that it's not more popular than it currently is, because it deserves to be like Office level. Like, everyone should be watching it.
Yeah.
You know, so CW Longbottom is my spirit animal. I love everything about that character, backstory, and Peter were two of the best episodes of TV I've seen in a long, long time. I can't recommend this show enough. And I hope more people continue to watch it and its audience continues to grow. And I hope to God we keep getting more seasons of it. It's so good.
When we announced that we were going to do Marvel anymore and we were going to focus on other shows, and people were like, what the hell is wrong with you? You're a nerd show and you're not going to talk about Marvel. This is why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this shit is way better.
Because
way better.
You might be this kind of nerd, but we're this kind of nerd.
We're over you Marvel nerds.
We're like the hipster nerds. We were doing that. It was cool.
Yeah. We've got like really long, curly mustaches. Yeah.
Are we hipster nerds?
Yeah, we're hipster nerds, bro.
I don't want to be a hipster nerd.
No, but listen, this is the thing, though. It's Marvel has become like the everyday. Oh, yeah. Everybody watches it. Everybody talks about it.
It's like,
but these niche shows like C, which, I mean, it's growing in popularity now.
Yeah.
But like, C and Mythic Quest that nobody really has on their radar. You know, and we're over here like, hello.
I get so mad when I'm like, when people are like, I don't know what to watch. I'm like, have you watched C? Have you watched Mythic Quest? And they're like, what is that? I'm like, oh, God damn it.
I kind of relegate it to like how I feel about my music.
Yeah.
It's like, I used to be like hardcore heavy metal Metallica dude back in the 80s. You know,
everybody listens to Metallica.
And now it's like,
You see a 20-year-old with Metallica shirt.
You go to a Metallica concert and
they're babies.
It's like, who are these fucking people at this heavy metal concert? You know, it's just like, You bought your shirt at fucking Hot Topic. Fuck you. You know? Or I bought my Metallica shirt at JCPenney's. And yeah. It's like, oh, I hate you. I hate everything that fucking happens with these people. It's just like, I got in a fight with a coworker because I saw some stupid person going down the escalator with the Metallica shirt from like the Master of Puppets days. That it was just a reprint of one that they bought at fucking Kohl's.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that person's never been to a fucking heavy metal concert in their life. And they're like, how dare you say that, Mr. Gatekeeper? And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. I am gatekeeping. You're exactly right. It was just, yeah.
So are you saying we're metal for going against the grain?
I kind of, we are so very metal. Yeah. We're a little metal.
Yeah. We're like, fuck you, Marvel.
Yeah.
Get out of here. We're talking Mythic Quest.
Yeah.
Which is, it's genuinely really freaking good, really, guys. It's true. All right, that's it. That's our review for the second half of season two. Thank you for joining us. As always, if you like what we do and you want to see more of it, the unfiltered, that kind of tangent that Vader just went on,
right?
There's that in spades. If you join the Salty Nerd Club, join the community, you get 4 exclusive podcasts every single month. And we're also going to be doing Foundation, the new Apple TV show, exclusively for members only.
Ad-free.
I won't have to do these spiels. You can go there, join the club membership.
It so feels like when you're talking about this, like, join us. It feels like we're trying to get people to join a cult.
Come on.
We are.
Come on. Get to the choppa. Yeah. Join the club. It's a ton of fun. We have a fantastic community right there, and we just want it to grow even more. And you get exclusive access to our Discord app where we do live streams. We do watch parties. We do video games. You get to hang out with me while I'm doing blooper reels, outtake stuff, all kinds of really fun stuff. It's a great value.
Pictures in my butt. I'm going to do that's going to make it happen.
Salty Nerd Club.
Yeah, that's for the $30. Yes, yes.
Whoa. Wow. All right, guys. Vader, where can they find your butthole on the social media?
Gross, dude.
How many splats do you use?
Shut up. Nobody wants to see that.
Pretty shoes.
You can find me at MattVader74 on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Gitter. And some of the other ones, I guess. I don't know. Wherever. Good talk. Okay.
And Jude, where can they find you at?
You can find me at I Am Jude Juju on Instagram, on Twitter, and on TikTok.
All right. And Matthew Kadish.
You can find me at Matthew Kadish, KADISH on Twitter, and KadishBooks.com will take you to my Amazon page.
And I'm your host, Alex, the Salty Nerd. You can catch me exclusively on our Discord app or on Instagram if you want to hang out with us there. And as always, go watch Mythic Quest. It's freaking really good if you haven't already. And yeah, you guys have a great week. Stay salty, my friends.